This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Thank you. The weather today, highs of 7 degrees centigrade, lows of 2 degrees centigrade. It's going to be rather cold with a brisk northeasterly wind, but there will be some sunny spells occurring as far as the afternoon is actually concerned. Little news from the driving traffic scenario, thanks to Jeff Thompson for this. The A1500, that's A1500, Tilbridge Lane in Marton is closed at the Stowe Park level crossing junction because of roadworks. There's a diversion in operation, so expect delays. That's the A1500. 1500 Tilbridge Lane, Marton, both ways at Stowe Park level crossing, closed because of roadworks. A diversion is in operation and expect delays.
I'm Angela Rippon and I'm with Alex Leftuke on Siren FM.
Marvellous. So is, of course, Rosemary Smith. As we mentioned, Rosemary, it was only, 12 hours ago. We were just beginning to come to the end of the session when we were doing double duty as far as the Midweek Drive was actually concerned. Not only were we in London with LWT and the Royal Television Society, with, of course, Nick Owen and the fabulous Caroline from Red Productions, of course, and, of course, the very wonderful director of photography that was Dominic Clements, who was also with us talking about ageism in the media. So from your own perspective, I almost, what's the word? Sorry, Rosie, I just sort of cut you across here. I have to sort of give a little shout out to Nikki Wells and Penny Evans, who were obviously sort of kept updated and realised that the show which was going out last night was indeed a pre-record, as we made it clear. Rosemary, how did you feel it went? Do you feel as though we've solved anything? Have we sorted out this whole ageism in the media case?
We haven't solved it, but I think the more we talk about it, the better it is, because it needs to be discussed. It's a time bomb, isn't it? Really, of this age, really. That's what people tell us, don't they, Alex? But I think older people have got a lot to give. They're not just a burden on society. They're also people that can contribute a lot.
Isn't it also a big question of attitude? I mean, one of the things that Nick Ross was clearly saying there was that, you know, from his own perspective, I mean, he said when he got his first break with the BBC in terms of the World Service, he, in essence, succeeded somebody else who was a very eminent individual. Isn't it surely a case of, well, you need to look at the whole kind of package, really, and it's always dangerous when you start talking about, well, the recent move by the BBC to ensure that all breakfast shows on local radio will have at least one female co-presenter.
Oh, I didn't know that, Alex.
Hey, who's on equity these days?
Things have changed, haven't they? They've moved on, because when I worked at the BBC many years ago, you had to wait till somebody died until you could move up.
Well, I suppose it does actually lead to death at broadcasting house scenarios and lots of other murder mysteries and so on. There are one or two folk who probably might be listening to this who think, what's the Royal Television Society then? It sounds very fancy. We hear about it. What exactly do you do in terms of the whole thing? What, for instance, the London branch of the Royal Television Society, where the wonderful Kirsten there coordinating things, you, as you say, produced the event. It was on the 14th floor of the London Weekend Television Centre. I mean, what is the Royal Television Society?
They run events. They obviously, they've given awards, which everybody knows, because sometimes on when you're watching television and you see the news, it says, look, RTS winner, you know, award of the year. But they're also actually giving money to young people in the form of bursaries and helping them in mentorships. That's what they're going to aim to do now, is actually help young people as well.
So it's one of the well-known facts at the University of Lincoln with our media production departments, indeed School of Journalism, they've won RTS awards in the past. There's always been a commitment to, clearly, the next generation of programme makers, programme producers and so on. Do you think that the Royal Television Society, in a sense, also needs to look at how it makes best use of its range of ages that actually join? Because clearly, you know, we like to ensure that there are newbies coming along, etc. I did notice, to be fair, that apart from Katie Grimerson and Ed Wellman, the number of chronologically gifted folk in the audience was pretty high last night. There weren't too many youngsters around.
Well,
they're
trying to combat that, Alex. Yeah. They're actually trying to change things. We've got a new CEO, and she's trying to change things completely, you know, get new members coming in. She's offering new things like we spoke about last night, the hospital club, which is a new add-on, and people say, what the hell is that?
Well, this is, I was too polite to actually ask, because I thought, look, I'm being focused here on actually doing a debate, etc., and Kirsten was talking about the hospital club. I thought, well, what are we talking about? I mean, is it a case of you have to be really ill before you can join? What's the whole system there?
It's really a place, as I was trying to sort of explain, a bit like Groucho's, that people join and they have to pay a hell of a lot of money to join.
Yeah. Surely hospitality.
It's all the media people, and they can go and network, and you can actually put your CV on their site, and other people can give you work. That's what it's all about, really, networking,
so
meeting new people.
It's not like Fight Club, then, a variation on that, as far as it's where you end up after you've been in Fight Club, you go to the hospital club, and then you can actually join the Royal Television Society.
No, Alex, it's not.
The reason we're talking about this, of course, is membership of the Royal Television Society open to all? I mean, if people are actually there, do you just have to have an interest in television, or do you have to have a range of credits as long as yours, Rosie, before you can actually join?
You obviously have to have an interest in the industry, yes, and if you're like myself to get on the committee, then you do have to have, obviously, a list of credits. But, yeah, it's open to everybody. And as you know, for a student member, only costs £10.
£10.
£10.
Almost less than the cost of a
good
CD, you know, which many people probably don't remember now because CDs are so old-fashioned. Just download it. It's like a shiny disc you can actually burn things on. It's a compact disc. Brilliant. OK, well, as we mentioned, I have to give out a special thank you to, of course, Ed Wellman, who actually drove me successfully down there and back again and dropped me off more than effectively just before midnight, actually, just before the witching hour. So I didn't turn into a pumpkin. I was obviously set for this morning. Heaven knows what's happened to Ed and Katie this morning. I'm sure they'll be just sort of soaking up the atmosphere and just generally sort of working through the whole process. As mentioned, we'll be speaking to Richard Fitzwilliams very shortly. He's going to be talking about his views on the latest Catching Fire edition of the Hunger Games setup. So great news as far as that's concerned. If you're a Hunger Games fan, we'll find out what Richard Fitzwilliams makes of the whole system. Ian Lennox is back with us from Tyneside. And we're also going to be speaking later on to a couple of other authors, actually. Bill Coles, who after 25 years as a top tabloid journalist for The Express and The Mail and so on, has actually produced his own take on the whole system, which is quite fascinating, actually. So Bill will make his debut on the production as well. William Sitwell is back with us talking about why he's off to Ethiopia next week. And we've got Alan Stevens. Rosemary, you might think, oh, I wish I could listen to that. You can, of course. Do you know how you can listen to us?
Online.
Yeah, sirenonline.co.uk, or alternatively, you can even take it a couple of stages further forward and you can probably download the programme as a podcast later on in the day, you see. So there we are. Never let it be said there's any rationale whatsoever for not making best use of the modern technology. And I know, Rosemary, the way you actually said with the digital camera yesterday, oh, look, you've got sort of people in square boxes. It's wonderful. And you've got your own iPhone as well. It's fantastic. Rosemary Smith, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
A very interesting time with a very interesting man.
Who might that be then?
Hello, this is Jane Clark, the historian at Aintree Racecourse, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition with Alex Leftuse.
So will you be back with us again in the very near future?
Oh, definitely, Alex.
Yay!
Yeah.
Birmingham's Gift to the Galaxy on the Midweek Drive for Siren FM and more.
Oh, and that means Katie Grimmison's back in the studio. How are you, Katie?
I'm good.
Very own angel of the morning. I know, Richard Fitzwilliams, you thought that was you, but I'm sorry. It's Katie Grimmison. She's just got back from an extraordinary journey down to your neck of the woods in the capital city of the British Isles. That would be London, I believe. And was working with me last night at an event for the Royal Television Society on the 14th floor of LWT, or the ITV Centre, former headquarters of London Weekend Television. Or indeed, actually, you also said a quick hello to Kay Adams, I believe, who...
Yeah, Yeah, me and Ed were in the lift and Kay Adams got in there.
Well, you see, that's it. Obviously, we're brushing our shoulders with the stars. You'll be pleased to know that the event, which of course was Ages of the Media, I was chairing it. We had Nick Ross, we had Dominic Clements, quite a specialised director of photography, and indeed we also had Caroline Hullick from Red Productions, who of course do Last Tango in Halifax. Went splendidly, Richard, with one slight caveat, unfortunately. No Richard Fitzwilliams there.
Ah, well, in spirit, certainly. And I was impressed when you mentioned the word angels. A very clever introduction.
Mm-hmm.
And with the adaptation of Julian Marrow's Blue Angel,
yes,
which has become Blue is the Warmest Colour. So that was really subtly done.
You noticed that, you see. You know,
I did.
We might have a little bit journeying all over the country, but I can still put a bit of production in. That's the important thing.
It was very important. And so, I have to say, is this film, because, you know, it's very seldom, very, very seldom, that you live and breathe, insofar as you possibly can, the actions of the characters on a screen when you're in a room, you're watching a film, and so often you know it's contrived, so often obviously it's a piece of escapism and so forth. Not at all. When the characters here are stressed, we feel the angst they're feeling. When they're troubled relationships, we hold our breath. And there are there's a very rare beauty to the very explicit love scenes here. I mean, I'm talking about Abdellatif Kechiche's absolutely remarkable film, which won the Palme d'Or at Cannes, and the actresses, Léa Seydoux as Emma, who we meet first at college and subsequently becomes a school teacher, and Adele Chapopoulos as Adele, who is a bohemian artist, and it's a relationship between them, but it's the way it's shot, it's the way it's acted. I mean, this is real cinematic beauty. I was so impressed with this film.
And of course, you mentioned about feeling the strain, feeling having that sort of empathy and connection with that. You know, I felt as you were describing that, very much sort of identical sort of senses with respect to Katie, who came and said she's feeling very stressed this morning. So, you know, we want to share that agony with you, Katie, and say, it'll be all right.
What, you want me to share?
No. I'm just saying we will. Yes, we will share that sort of... So, won't we, Richard? We will share a sort of stress of actually getting here assignments in before the deadline and how she actually copes with shot analyses and such. We will share that, won't we, Richard?
Undoubtedly we will.
There we are, you see.
Thank you.
Indeed. But I have to say, one of the extraordinary aspects of this film, it's 3 hours, neither normally. I mean, people would find that daunting or could find it daunting. Here, as you're so involved in the characters and their relationship, it passes as though, in a sense, you were personally involved.
Well,
you really... Or I was all but speechless afterwards. I really was impressed by the way a film can involve you, can draw you in. And also, something else that I noticed in Tarantino's films, for example, if you have time to make a scene particularly long, and it's especially well scripted as it is here, it draws you in ever more, and there's something more realistic about it. I realize frequently this is impossible, but nonetheless, here it works. And although, I mean, the film has received a lot of publicity, and there were reports that the actresses felt somewhat exploited by how they were directed, but it appears that the rift has been made up. Well, this movie is also entitled Adele 1 and 2, so that opens the possibility that we might see a sequel, and if so, it would be a major cinematic event, because this is a masterpiece.
Katie, you'd like to sort of throw in an interrogative or a question to you.
Yes, well, I'm actually doing my genre and popular culture essay on 2 Sam Mendes films, so I just wanted to know what you think of his style.
Oh, Sam Mendes is one of those rare directors where they are always, I mean, perpetually consistent in, I would say, a series of movies that really, really you're thinking of a high standard of excellence, Road to Perdition. I can, as I think back, see even the way those gangsters wore their greatcoats and coaxing remarkable performances from his stars. And I mean, from Revolutionary Road, which was, I felt, much underrated, moving, of course, to American Beauty, which won an Oscar.
That's the two I'm comparing, because I love the materialism factor of it, and I'm just seeing how it comes across in both of them films.
I think that in both of those films you feel very considerable empathy in Revolutionary Road with the Kate Winslet's character.
Yeah.
And there was no question, it's as you say, it is shot in a very, very stark colour. So you're looking at the supposedly ideal neighbourhood, which has this relationship which is collapsing. And then with American Beauty, you have this dysfunctional neighbourhood. And, as we know, very impressive performances. And a movie that was one of the very few set in Hollywood. Crash, American Beauty, and Rocky are the three that have been set in Hollywood that I can remember that have actually won Oscars. And it was considered masterly, and, I mean, it works. It's well cast, it's well made, and it portrays an American dream which is completely disintegrated. And but there's some very, very memorable visuals, too. Of course, we've got to mention Skyfall.
Yes, of course.
And I have to say, again, a movie, although a trifle overrated, I enjoyed it enormously, and I think that it continued the long, long, long-awaited Bond revival, which started with Casino Royale, plummeted to the depths, which we won't mention the name of the second one.
Stay.
Exactly, no.
Don't take solace in that one, Richard.
I won't take any at all, not even a quantum of it. I'll just move on to say that Mendes is one of our top directors at the top of his powers.
I could have gone down the road of writing about Tarantino, which is the obvious choice, but I love Mendes films, so I've chose him.
Well, I feel as though I've stepped into a seminar on film studies. Fantastic, it's genius. See Richard providing a masterclass on the whole thing. And the title of the movie with respect to Blue is, once again,
Blue is the Warmest Colour. Mm. Director Abdelatif Kekiche, Léa Seydoux, Adèle Exarchopoulos, and an absolute masterpiece. A movie that, if you want to see real life on a screen, if you want to see how beautifully it can be portrayed and how realistically and how naturalistically, because this is a movie that really, really is rare. I mean, it's as though you're transported voyeuristically into it. See it.
Quite literally, blue is the warmest colour. As opposed to blue is the colour, which of course was the theme to Chelsea Football Club for many a year, and still is, I believe, down the King's Road. Never mind. On to that, in terms of sporting connections, you might as well think, oh, we should be playing some Coldplay and Atlas, because that's obviously from the soundtrack to The Hunger Games Catching Fire. Have you put it out as yet, Richard, or is it still catching fire?
Well, it's still catching fire because this is a series that people like it because it's so well done. It's punchy, it's hard-edged, it's well-acted, and new director Francis Lawrence replacing Gary Ross, but we have Jennifer Lawrence, a superb actress, also Oscar winner, as we know, as Katniss Everdeen, and she and her supposed love, Peter Mallark, played by Josh Hutcherson, won in the first episode, The Hunger Games, the 74th annual Games, and they're sent on a tour of the districts who are suppressed by the ruthless rule of the capital and President Snow. But what they don't know is that Snow, who believes that she in particular is far too popular, intends that they should compete with the winners of the previous game.
Surely she can't be bigger than Donald Sutherland, surely.
Well, there you've got Sutherland also at the height of his powers. I have to say, a truly remarkable actor. I mean, bringing back memories of Don't Look Now and Clute, I was privileged, I felt, to briefly shake his hand a couple of years ago when he was at the London Film Critics.
Don't forget MASH. Don't forget MASH.
I haven't forgotten MASH, and I never thought it was particularly subtle, but it's interesting, at the time, it was the only movie that Hollywood dared, by its metaphor, because it was technically set in Korea, as you know, deal with Vietnam. Unfortunately, they've learnt very, very differently with Iraq and Afghanistan, but there's no doubt The Hunger Games is so good because it's so well filmed, because this is dramatic. Because when the games begin, and we've had some spectacular build-ups, watch those costumes. Never let it be said that this was not a movie that didn't quite literally catch fire sometimes. Jennifer Lawrence can certainly turn on the crowds in the capital who are most impressed, very, very impressed by what they believe is a romance. However, she has other ideas, and the story is very, very different. There are perhaps less realistic scenes in a movie that could be argued as being a bit overlong in the various districts, which we saw more of in the first film. But the facts are, when you're in that arena There's the poisonous mist. There are ferocious monkeys, wondrous creatures. These are enough to frighten me. Strikes of lightning, dangerous floods, and there are the previous winners, who, of course, are all hardened.
Amazing.
What happens?
What happens? Nikki Wells has just actually sent in a little Facebook message saying she's tuned in now to Siren FM. Well, we should be, hopefully. What other choice is there, honestly? Midweek Drive Morning Edition, and it's the Thursday Special Breakfast Show. I didn't realise, Katie, we were the Thursday Special Breakfast Show. It's like a full English, but obviously much more international. And obviously looking ahead to Phil Coles, who will actually be making an appearance later on. So exciting stuff there. And as we say, Nikki, we thank you for your comments last night, particularly the one about Mike and the Mannics. Actually, Mike and the Mechanics. A little bit of tension about that discussion. Never mind, Richard, has it worked for your good self in terms of being a reasonable telephonic link today?
Oh, it has indeed. And I must mention, however, one thing that was not reasonable. In fact, it was ranked bad, let's condemn it. And that is The Counselor, which is directed by Ridley Scott. It's scripted by Cormac McCarthy. And frankly, I have to mention Michael Fassbender,
yes.
Penelope Cruz,
yes.
Brad
yes.
Pitt,
yeah.
Cameron.
Are you saying Ridley's produced another Prometheus here?
I'm afraid he has.
Oh,
I mean, Javier Bardem. And I mean, the fact the film has three beheadings is one thing. But the reputations of those involved are not improved by a movie which is well shot. But there's a scene, which I won't go into here, of Cameron Diaz and a car, which, frankly, I wish I hadn't seen. She has a couple of pet cheetahs. They could have written a better script than McCarthy, and frankly a more realistic one, because this is a movie that moves from one scene well lit enough, possibly as much of it is set in Mexico, and it's a particularly nasty film, but it's extremely unconvincing. I mean, I have to say, 2 hours of this, and I was bored rigid.
Oh, dear. I got the feeling, Katie, he's not really a fan of The Counselor, then.
No, I don't think he is.
I was just warning you, Katie, because, I mean, you'd think with a cast like this, Michael Fassbender, a counselor who's involved with his first drugs deal, it's not wise, you know.
I'll just stick to Mendes.
Probably wise, especially since Scott, after Robin Hood, which was shaky enough, moving to Prometheus and moving downward. I mean, here it's just as bad, and it really is a poor movie. Some have found things to like in it, but the script's full of pretentious nonsense. I noted a quote from Keats and also one from Marlowe's The Jew of Malta. Now, that's not a play I hear quoted very frequently on screen, but it doesn't improve something as limp and as lengthy and as silly as this.
Well, there we have it. The Richard Fitzwilliams views. Thumbs up for Blue is the Warmest Colour and The Hunger Games Catching Fire, but definitely a thumb down for The Counsellor. But make your own decision. Go and see check the things, check them all out, and then you can also say...
From international who's who to CNN, from film criticism to royalty, from South Africa to London, and now to the midweek drive on Siren FM, it's Richard Fitzwilliams.
I take it you'll be back with us next week then, Richard.
I look forward to it, saving Mr. Banks and the butler.
Some saw the sun.